Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Holly Homer, who's going to introduce herself, her expertise, and tell us, what would you say you do here, Holly?
This really is unscripted. So I'm Holly Homer, and my current position is at Digistore as the organic and AI visibility, which is a really fancy way of saying that I just kind of connect the dots for both search engines and AI to find the stuff that we need to talk about. And I've been around the internet for a really, really long time. I accidentally started one of the first mom blogs over 20 some years ago, and which has landed me on the most crazy journey over the last 20 years. Totally unexpected. And that's why I'm here now. So,
mom blogging. Let's talk about that for a second, because it's a total phenomenon. And I think that it's kind of morphed as time has gone on. What's been kind of the journey around that? What was the name of your original mom blog? I'll make sure to link to it in the show notes if people are curious about it. And how has that evolution of search impacted your experience from accidentally starting something that became like a huge trend?
Yeah, it was. Well, it really mirrors the evolution of the internet, because, you know, in the early days of, like, you know, of having a blog, it was a hobby. Like, you know, we wrote, you know, and quite honestly, it was really the beginning of social networking, because while there weren't any platforms like Facebook and X and that kind of stuff, there was, you know, the comment sections underneath those blog posts. And so I would write something and, you know, have maybe 300 people read it, but 150 comments on it, you know, and that was just, you know, we've replaced that with social media today. But those early days, there was no monetization. There was no even thought of monetization. And so it was really kind of more of a social network, more, you know, kind of, I was kind of doing it to replace an expensive scrapbooking habit. So,
hey, you joke, but that's a serious padding your monthly checkbook of not spending that much money on scrapbook supplies.
And it was a way to stay connected. And then really once I got into realizing what this was, because I like literally had never read a blog before I started blogging. And in fact, I got sent the link to, you know, blogspot.com, and you basically fill out a form, you know, what's the name of your blog? And so I chose June Cleaver Nirvana, because I was a stay-at-home mom of little boys, and but kind of a non-traditional situation. And so I just started writing about that, and realizing, oh, other people do this too. I don't know if you remember back when there were blog rolls on the sidebar of these blogs, but, you know, that kind of threw me into, you know, following these blog rolls of people that I started reading their blogs. And some of those people in those blog rolls are some of my closest friends today. So it was a crazy journey, because it started from like, oh, a hobby, and then, oh, we could literally monetize this, to, oh my gosh, I'm now feeding my entire family. And then, you know, and then beyond that. So like every single thing that came along on the internet over the last 23 years, you know, was an opportunity to just be curious, get involved. Who knows where this is going to lead? Couldn't have ever expected this from year to year anyway. So it's just been a crazy journey.
I came up with Rand Fishkin. He was commenting on something, and I pointed out that, you know, comments were where conversations used to happen. But, you know, WordPress kind of killed that in its in the crib, because it never took care of the spam problem, you know.
Right.
And, you know, people could, you know, for the insane amount of WordPress sites that are out there, you know, there's even more sites that are still to this day accepting random, you know, inputs that are just links to, you know, pills, porn, casinos, and everything.
Like, oh, yeah.
The worst of the worst.
I mean, and thousands of them in the spam folder.
and we've known about this since I started in 2007 of like, oh, gosh, I just put up this website and there's all these spam comments. Can we do something about that? But it's like a 20-year intractable problem, apparently, that WordPress is allowed to go on, that really allowed the rise of social media. I mean, if we had kept owning our audiences and kept owning that conversation in our own walled gardens, like, can you imagine, like, the difference everywhere?
Yeah, I think that, like, I agree. Like, and one of the crazy things is not only did WordPress not solve this, but most of the third party solutions were for their own benefit, not the blog's benefit. And so if they had ever, like, somebody could have dominated this world if they would have aligned the blog's benefit with their own benefit in that one area. But it was one of those, like, missed opportunities that you'll never get back, because, like, no normal person leaves a blog comment at this point. It's 2026.
it's sad. And it just goes to some of the training that we as a society, like, have allowed ourselves, you know, like, kind of these cultural norms that then just become unspoken rules. And now we give up so much of our time and attention onto these social media platforms,
right,
that change the algorithm, you know, rewards one and destroys another every day. You know, like, people rise up and fall very quickly. And we seem to, you know, enjoy the gamble of it, I guess. So, like, I mean, not that there wasn't an aspect of, like, blowing up as a mom blogger that didn't come from Google, which, you know, there's a gamble in that's going to be sustained. But the algorithm behind socials is much more opaque.
Yeah. And I think, like, really, as a content creator, I think it kind of goes back to that, that free exposure. So you get looped in, you know. First, you know, Twitter was the first one that, you know, was available for bloggers to get traffic from. In fact, you know, like, I had months where, like, my top referrer was Twitter, you know, like, back in the early days, there weren't a billion links on Twitter. There was, you know, a few really good links. And so people would follow you for their links and you get good traffic from it. And then, but as every single one of those algorithms tightens up for their own benefit, you know, it's like the inching out of the user content. And it's really a kind of a crazy dance of, they need us because we're the only ones that are making, like, legitimate content that is useful to their viewers, but then they don't want to explore, you know, they don't want it really. They would have preferred I didn't have a blog and made all this wonderful content for them, you know. Well, that just doesn't happen because, of course, you know, I had a full staff that was helping me create, like, for instance, Facebook content. And so, like, it was a full-time job to put that stuff out there. But then when they start, you know, pulling back the algorithm, is that, you know, we have to change. I can't just pay people to go over there and, you know, just populate their a platform for free if they're not going to send me something in return.
So, working with Digistore, give a little bit of tidbit of what that your company's mission is, what topic you're aligned with, and how you're, you know, looking at, because you said in your title that you're doing both SEO and AI visibility, you know, and we've touched already on social, but I think they're all three, you know, tied into each other. You know, Google is not as explicit about, you know, it using specific social signals, but it's the same kind of BS dance that we can go back to them in 2015 saying, oh, we don't use click data for our rankings. Yeah, no, liars. You absolutely did. You did. You do. It's the ABC, like, out of the C, clicks and behavior on the actual SERP is definitely in there. So there's an aspect of that, you know, social side you know, the opacity of the AIs and LLM tools and what they're doing. So what's your mission at Digistore, and how are you achieving that in the current economy?
So Digistore is the largest like affiliate network and a marketplace, which is crazy because a lot of us hadn't even really heard of it until we like dove into it. But there are people who are, you know, bring their brands to Digistore and are selling all sorts of products. I'd say mostly, probably that some of the top products are in the supplement space, health space, and that kind of thing. But digital products, just about anything. And then what that allows them to do is to simplify their business completely, because when they plug into the Digistore network, they have an affiliate network built in. They have a payment processor built in. They have a payment processor built in that allows them to scale very rapidly. And not, if you've ever scaled on one of the other platforms, a lot of times they're going to hold your money for 3 months, 6 months on a big launch just to make sure. Whereas, you know, we're more partners with those people coming in and making sure that they're making money, you know, from day one. And then the other thing that's really cool is Digistore is based out of Germany, so it's really worldwide footprint. And there's just really ways for instance, an established brand here in the United States who might be selling, you know, $1 million worth of product a year, to then expand very quickly into Europe and other places, because we already have the framework and the distribution model and all that kind of stuff in place. And so it's really cool. And what I love about it is because I've been on the other side. So by the way, we serve both like a vendor, somebody who's selling something, and also the affiliates that want to, you know, have a cut of that by promotion. And so I've been on the other side. I've been on both sides like through the years. As you know, my very first money made on the internet was due to affiliate marketing. Didn't know what it was at that, you know, this is a common theme through my whole life, is I didn't know what I was getting into. But, you know, sold a product because I recommended it through my blog and ended up, you know, doing very well. And then, you know, over the years, affiliate income has always been a really good, stable, you know, stream of income. On the influencer side, is once influencers became a thing, and then I realized, oh my gosh, I'm an influencer now. is that we developed several of my own brands, and then we sold those online too that had affiliates underneath of me. So, like when I came into Digistore, I was like, this is so cool because it's really a hub of, you know, like kind of all the good things that I needed as an affiliate and as a brand myself are all in this one place.
I recall when I was working at Raven Tools in the SEO space, like we had a good handful of really powerful affiliates who did a lot to drive traffic and drive conversions. And we saw that there was, you know, more conversion rate from the affiliate channel because they'd done the pre-work. At that time, that very much largely they were doing blogging and SEO. What does the general stack of what affiliates are doing typically look like right now? Because I know, you know, keeping my fingers on the pulse of SEO for a while, we've seen ebbs and flows of the success and fall of affiliate marketers, like touch the sky, touch the sun at some point, but. Yeah. Got all Icarus burned by Google a couple of different times, particularly with the helpful content update. So what does that mix look like now? And where does it look like it's trending?
Yeah, you know, like, of course, we, you know, you've been in this space for a long time. We've been hearing, you know, blog sites are dead for, I don't know, like, what's it been, 12 years, 15 years? I don't know. And I still make a significant amount of income from affiliate links on my blog. So like, as people say, you don't, you know, maybe not, but okay. I mean, like, if you don't want that income, that's fine. I'll keep taking it, you know, but, and I think going forward, the human voice is going to be like, is going to stand out more and more and more. And so because it is so cluttered with just AI slop everywhere you go, that if there is an actual human with an actual experience that AI does not have, then that the other humans are going to be attracted to that. And I think it's a big opportunity for affiliate marketing because we still are going to humans to find out what they like and how they use something and what they recommend and, oh, how did you solve that problem? And so whether that's on a TikTok video or an Instagram post or a YouTube video or a blog post or an email, all of those places, paid media, once you know exactly who that customer is that has that exact problem, all those things are still in play. You know, and I think as we all get a little bit more savvy about kind of the fake reviews, which we all are savvy about that. We all can go to an Amazon product and see, oh, 5 stars, nothing bad about this. Yeah, right. There's no product in the world that has nothing bad about it, you know? So like being human in a place where being human is kind of neat and special now is really kind of, I think, the frontier, the next frontier of affiliate marketing, or if you're on the other side, selling your products.
I think that's fascinating. I agree. You know, I just interviewed Joel Miller and we talked on the human side of marketing, and that, you know, LLMs, you know, as much as they have training databases to tap into and they can, you know, steal Google's content, which feels a little bit like justice. How do you like being scraped, Google? You like that? Turnabout, spare play. But, you know, LLMs don't have anecdotes. You know, they don't have that deeper, specific context. You know, they have this kind of surfacey understanding of most things right now. And I do have to, you know, qualify right now, because every week we're being beta tested on, you know, with a new, you know, I think Fable came out with Claude released a new version, and it was so powerful that the U.S. government had to pause it and requested that. So we are in this strange push-pull universe where, you know, doing a workout with my wife, she was joking around with one of the ladies of like, oh yeah, their ads are totally AI. Like, come on, that's ChatGPT. You can try harder, guys. And I'm like, wow. Like, my wife and her best friend are like spotting out that AI slop is out there, and they don't like it. Yeah. And that kind of speaks to the power of, you know, using continue. I feel a little bit more job security than I did a year ago, because it was at this, like, a year ago, everybody I interviewed was very long in the face. We had some genuine concerns because marketing budgets were moving away. And, you know, SEO budgets were getting constricted. Uh-huh. And, you know, these GEO, AIO, AEIO, you guys were popping up all over LinkedIn promising the world. Good news is we've had enough time for CEOs, CFOs to realize, there's some there, but there's not all there. So how are you handling the position of being responsible for both the SEO and organic side of things and also the AI side of things? Like, what's the split, or how do you define that split when you're reporting to your higher up and saying, hey, this is what we're doing and this goes towards this. I need some more budget to go towards this, which is this aspect of it. How do you break that down in your org?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting and probably something completely unexpected as a writer. You know, I have 4 books out. You know, I've spent the last 20 some years, you know, writing every day. And then not super happy that, you know, the AI scraped my 13,000 blog posts and my 4 books and, you know, didn't compensate me at all and then replaced me in search because I run my main site was kidsactivities.com, which are super simple. Like you don't need a, you know, 4,000 word blog post to understand how to make a paper plate craft of a squirrel. So, you know, like I was literally replaced by my own words in the search results and the AI results. So like, and I mean, obviously I was slightly bitter for a while about that. And then, but I see now, like, I use AI all day. Like, and what I've built, like, as a non-technical person is mind-blowing. Like, it's like ridiculous to create a, like, a content generation, you know, a machine in my voice with all the data that I need to know with, you know, quotes from podcasts and YouTube videos and, of course, every word I've ever written to actually come up with a content strategy that connects the dots for, you know, what the conversations that Digistore has to have with the world, for them to know what we do and to make sure it's a good fit for them. So, you know, stepping back into that was like really when I first came on in January was looking at what are the 4 conversations that we need to be having online. Up until I was really thinking about this so much. And this is what's so cool about Digistore, by the way, is most of their sales and you know, customers were generated in in-person events. For an 100% online company, it was in-person events like, you know, and, you know, conferences and expos and all those things, but also events that we throw ourselves on a regular basis all around the world. It's if you look at Instagram, sometimes you'll think we're an event company because like there's beautiful people doing beautiful things all over the world, which is really fun. And that's how the networking happened. And I was like, they're so effective in real life. Like, you know, you go to one of these events, realize this is perfect fit. How do we have those same conversations online for an online company? And that's really like what, where this all started. And so, you know, talking to our sales teams, talking to the other departments, like, you know, what do people need to know about us? And so I narrowed that down to 4 different conversations. And then, you know, did the keyword research for, of course, the SEO on the blog, came up with, you know, 320 keywords that, you know, talk that are spread across those 4 conversations. And then look at, all right, we know we need to have these 4 conversations. We know we need to, you know, we have expertise in these 320 keywords. Of course, we need to show Google and AI that we know what we're talking about. We have the experts. We are the best solution for X, Y, and Z. And then, like, so planning out that map, starting with the content as a home base, just so that I always think about it as kind of like a dictionary or an encyclopedia for Google or for AI. And then having those same conversations, because we know we need to have them across all social channels, like everywhere. So like there's, and really what's really cool is like looking at the customer base, you know, and customer and clients mix and where they are. So on Facebook, we know that like that's more of a beginner affiliate marketer, you know, so we might have more like, you know, kind of how to affiliate market, how to get into affiliate marketing, you know, best, you know, ways to start affiliate marketing. Also, I teach the Launchpad class for Digistore, which is like the intro to affiliate marketing and how to get started and stuff like that. So that's a really easy conversation to have that not only connects the dots for AI and SEO, because I think they're looking everywhere too, that Digistore dominates in this space, but also that's where our customers are having that conversation. And that's going to be very different on LinkedIn, where that might be, we might be talking more about, you know, global payment processing. But we need to cover those subjects too, but let's do it where these people are and where we can get the authority piece on that. And so really looking at the conversations, like as a foundation on the blog, and then looking at where our customers are having these conversations on Reddit, on, you know, TikTok, on Instagram, on X, what type of conversation those are, and making sure that we're part of those conversations so that, like, it's our own damn fault if we don't let people know what we do.
Yeah. I think, I bet that if I had the moment to ask a lot of SEOs and digital marketers, maybe some CMOs, they might not think about affiliate marketing as a channel. And it kind of strikes me that in this moment of like, hey, SEOs need to diversify a little bit and better understand these different channels and how they hybridize and how they can collaborate. Can you talk about affiliate marketing as a channel and how you suggest digital marketing teams understand it and might want to add it to their stack?
Yeah. And I mean, this is literally how I even was introduced to SEO and affiliate marketing is so, you know, 17 years ago, I don't remember exactly, I was laying in bed with my husband. We were watching infomercials because 17 years ago, that's what people did in the evenings. And it was the infomercial for pajama jeans. And so for those of you not familiar with pajama jeans, they look like jeans, but they feel like pajamas. And my husband was like, you totally want those. And I'm like, no. And he's like, why don't you buy those? Write about them on your blog and it would be a business expense. Well, like literally never had a business expense in my life. So I was like, oh, that sounds exciting. So I ordered them and I got them and they were kind of awful. So I wrote a blog post and I did not know anything about SEO at the time, but this blog post taught me a lot about SEO. So the infomercial had, like, I embedded like the little YouTube infomercial thing, and then I pulled out, like, you know, feels like pajamas. Well, kinda, you know, and put my two cents. So I parroted the keywords from the infomercial, not knowing what I was doing, and just would give my two cents. And so, and published it. Of course, my audience thought it was funny. And then I started realizing that I was getting like an obscene amount of blog traffic for me.
Yeah.
You know, a blog that was getting, I don't know, you know, 3,000, 5,000 a week page views was getting 100,000 a week. And it was because I hit the first page. It was the first result for pajama jean review at the time. And what I found out later was that pajama jeans was doing this massive radio campaign. And so people were going to Google and looking for pajama jean information, and they were landing on my blog. Well, I ran out and put Google Ads because, like, I was going to hit that $100 threshold, which I could never have gotten before. But then I got an email from the pajama jeans people, and they said, hey, if you put this banner ad at the bottom, you'll get $11 for every pair of pajama jeans you sell. And I had a moral crisis right there. Because I was like, I didn't really like them. Like, should I really, like, I mean, like, that would be making, you know, like making money off of it. So I went back to the blog and I read through my article, which was not glowing. And I said, no, if someone still wants to buy pajama jeans, I should definitely benefit from that.
Right.
So I put that at the bottom of that article, and I started selling 10 to 12 pairs a day. Okay, so I went from zero monetization to not bad monetization overnight. And I was like, well, you know, it's the holidays. It's going to peter out. Well, then pajama jeans, you know, if you really love your Valentine, you need to buy pajama jeans for them. So it went through then the Valentine's the holiday. And then if you really love your mom, you buy her pajama jeans. So it went through Mother's Day. So I had a really probably an 8-month stint of selling pajama jeans through SEO. And the thing about it, when you think about it, is that this is still the same thing that happens today, is that that pajama jeans company couldn't get I was the one that was number one. Like they, no matter what they did, and I'm sure they spent a lot of money trying to bump me out, because it, like, here again, not glowing review.
Yeah.
Is so thinking about using affiliates as, you know, communication channels. Yes, you cannot control them to a certain extent. But on the other hand, does it really matter? Because I sold a boatload of pajama jeans for them in a way that they had no risk. I'm only getting paid if I'm actually selling. Yeah. And that's what the beautiful thing about affiliate marketing is you, like, there's no risk. Like, there's no, like, I'm not getting paid unless I perform. You know, no one's paying me unless I perform. So, like, that's why, like, it's such a missed opportunity to get exposure. And, like, yeah, like, maybe not everybody's going to hit the front page of Google with their review or something like that. Although I've repeated this multiple times across verticals with just trying to give information that's not available on the sales page. You know, like, when one of the things that, like, my review talks about is how they were very low writing. That was back when jeans were, like, lower. But, like, they're selling it to older women, and yet they're like, you know, it was very low cut. But that wasn't on the sales page. You know, like, right. Nobody, like, that was information that I was giving them that was not, unless you had warned them, you would never have known. And I think that's where we need to, as that human element, is what questions did you have? So another example is I did a sofa review many, many years ago. And every year that sofa review actually rises in Google credibility, because I'll go back and update it, because I have 3 boys and a dog. So guess who is interested in how that sofa is on year 3 and 5 and 7? Anyone with a family. Like, because you know what the sales page doesn't tell you?
How it's going to age.
Is what does it look like on year 3? On year, you know, if you're going to spend $3,000 on a sofa, like, that's an investment that, like, you don't want to be putting out on the front curb for the trash man on year 4.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what's really cool about, like, thinking about what information do I have that no one else in the world has, but I would love to have asked before I spent that $3,000. What questions do I have? Is it going to look like crap in 3 years and I have to go spend another $3,000?
I know, you know, I was in the SaaS space, and we had affiliates. And obviously jeans are products. Uh-huh. Is there such a thing as affiliate market space when you, like, have a deliverable, when you have a service, a digital service or such? Is there a market for that? Is that accommodatable?
Huge.
Or
huge?
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Because think about it, also, you know, it, in fact, I just wrote a blog post for Digistore 24 on this.
Because, in the show notes, folks.
Yes, I was going to say, I'll send you the link later. So the thing is it's not, it's about, like, information and kind of, I would think, you know, like, efficiency. So we all are wired to be good at one or two things and, like, learn other things and pick up things. But there's things that we do not want to worry about, or that, like, if we're really passionate about something, we'll go do a whole bunch of research. But then, like, everything else, like, just make it easy for us. So
yeah.
One of the examples I would give is, so PageWheel is actually a page builder, a simple funnel builder with AI that my partner and I created, which is one of the reasons why we're with Digistore today. And so we were a SaaS that was a funnel builder. So, and then we had to have affiliates that sell that as well. But then the thing is we're also affiliates for a lot of products that we use in conjunction with that or in online life. So I think about like one of the things that I might be teaching in my Launchpad class or something is saying, hey, like you want to be able to, you know, set up your funnel with an email marketing software. So here's how to do it, you know, like the blah, 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 blah. Let me show you how easy it is. Like even a non-technical person can do this. And then I'm opening up my, you know, set up and showing them like, oh, here's a sequence that I might put together, or here's the broadcast that I might do in this situation. And like in the lesson, I am like in the middle of my personal, you know, business email client. And so it is inevitable that 32 people in that class are going to say, well, like, why do you use that one? You know, why is that? Why did you set it up that way? You know, like, is that a good one to use? And I'm like, well, I've been with them for 12 years. So yeah, here's their affiliate link. There is not, like, it's not even sales at that point. Like, it's literally fitting people with the information that they, you know, they're searching. And so you can see, like, that's an easy one for a tutorial. But, like, what if you were sending out an email sequence on, hey, here's some tools I use, or here's my best solution for X, Y, or Z. And you can see how, like, if you had come or you knew me, you followed me, you wanted to do something in my space, that like clicking through on an affiliate link is absolutely a natural and something people actually want at that point.
That makes sense. Kind of wrapping it up, what is your hot take about the state of AI tools right now and the market?
So it's amazing and it's crappy at the same time. So like what we can really put together is really, really incredible, like mind blowing. But I really feel like one of the things that is limiting is that when you build something out and when you really go deep into AI, where the magic happens is when you are building things that have feedback loops. And so you're like, no, that sucked for these five reasons. You know, go ahead and redo it now. Okay, no, you know, you need to do this differently. You need to do this differently. And really, like really, you know, taking it to task and making sure it's delivering what you actually need, because they're, you know, like I uploaded a spreadsheet the other day with data that was really important. And then when I look at the output was super glassy and beautiful. But then I was like, the numbers don't make sense. I was like, where did you get those numbers? Like I uploaded the data and they're like, oh, I estimated it. I'm like, no. If I give you numbers, we're not like going to do the estimation thing. So like this like kind of policing and feedback loop is super, super important right now, because the output is glossy and vague and something for everyone otherwise. And so that's where people are getting tripped up, is they're like coming in and they're just taking the first take. And that's that. No, read it deeply. It's awful. Like it's not good. But when you can build in all these feedback loops and you can say, in fact, one of my favorite things to do is after I, you know, been working for a while with something, is saying, what is the feedback I'm going to give you about this? And it turns the, you know, the logic on its head, and it will go in all of a sudden with a whole new eyes of saying, well, you're going to hate this, 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 and this, and you're going to love this and this. And then I'll be like, well, I'm not even going to look at it until you fix that. And so getting deeper into down the rabbit trail is almost essential if you don't want anything you're putting out to be just slop.
Yeah, it's like when I first started in, taking my transcripts from my podcasts and taking it first to ChatGPT and asking, hey, I just want a cleaned up transcript. And then I thought I got a good thing. And then I was posting it and I realized I didn't say that. He didn't say that. There was a section here of a conversation that I never had. So then I'm like, okay, well, now I need to put in something where it's recursive, tells me how much of the conversation came from the transcript, define these extra prompts. And then another interview I did with Mason McCumber made me realize, you know what, if you're using Claude on the desktop, it has a very high temperature for whatever you put in there. And by temperature, I mean variability of what it will do with the exact same information every time, to the point where it almost intentionally doesn't do the same thing twice. And that's problematic when you're giving it a repeatable thing, like the transcript of a podcast, and I want you to do this. Well, if you save it as a skill, it drops that temperature down as low as it can go to not be creative, but to only be creative enough to execute exactly what it's told to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's part of the familiarity of the tool of like, don't accept the first draft. Understand it is an ass-kissing bootlicker and you have to push it to give you negative input. And you probably have to refine your skill prompt several times, might need to make several different skills to get something critically evaluated if you're just going to try to click a button or execute a skill and get it to do a thing. And you still should have a human in the loop, you know, like have anything that's publishing anywhere that doesn't have a human in the loop.
AI is not replacing humans anytime soon. And the more you use AI every day, the more you realize that. And for those of you who have not, started doing this in your own life on a regular basis, no matter where it is, business or real life, is I challenge you to, because the thing is what you will end up creating and building, you'll realize, yeah, it was super helpful to have AI, but like only I could have done that because only I would have given it the feedback to take it to that place, because it can't do a whole strategy. Like it thinks it can. And give me an SEO strategy for X, Y, and Z blog. It'll look really pretty. And then you go in there, you're like, wait, hold the phone.
These are all the right things in the order where you would think they would be, but just it's math. You know, it mathematically looks and sounds similar, the same. And I often have to remind myself, Claude is a fancy parrot.
It
sounds like English. It sounds like, but it's math, and its math can be off, like literal math. As well as the math it used to come up with this. Like, I think that's a fantastic point.
Yeah. Let me give you one example on that, because I thought this was so interesting. Is like, so affiliate marketing. You can imagine we have affiliate marketing, keyword. Well, you think about that from the affiliate side, that's a very different conversation than from the brand side or the business side that needs affiliates. So very simple, like same keywords, but completely different conversation around them. Well, so I am doing an affiliate marketing blog post and I have it really dialed in, this is the customer and stuff like that. It's still switching voice between the affiliate marketing on the brand side and the affiliate marketing on the affiliate side in the same article.
Yeah.
While it's very, this is tight down. This isn't just like first pass. This is like 150 pass AI. And it just makes you realize that like it has no clue. Like the only reason why it has a clue and like that it is making these changes is because I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's not what we're, we have to be consistent. Like, take that part out. We're going to emphasize this part here. Yeah. But like, if left to its own devices, like you can just imagine where this is on this article. But then you have to remember, like, the future of the world is, you know, it's only referencing stuff it wrote at some point.
Yeah.
And so, like, this muddled mess that is just is kind of untangleable right now is going to be like the biggest ball of mess eventually if we don't keep humans involved in this. And that's why it's like super important that I think to a certain extent we have to have like that authority human piece in every content piece from here on out, and hopefully soon it'll be easy to tell when that's not and not present. Right now it's the Wild West, but we've seen this before a million times on the internet every time new technology comes out. So, and then like at some point they'll overcorrect because that's why we can't have nice things. And then it will like settle back into normal thing. And, you know, being a human will be lauded again. So just stay tuned. The pendulum is swinging back and forth.
You're not wrong. If people want to have more conversation with you, see what you're working on, I'm going to add links for DigiStore to the show notes, but is there a social media channel where y'all are best active, or where can people find more information about you or DigiStore?
Yeah, DigiStore, we're everywhere, of course, and all sorts of fun stuff. So follow us on your favorite network. I'm going to be putting out more of my SEO and AI kind of journey with DigiStore on my LinkedIn, my personal LinkedIn. So I'll make sure that we get that.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.